You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite,
it's Judd's Hockey Show.
Yes, it is Judd's Hockey Show, recording on a Sunday evening after the Wild loses in a shootout 3-2 to the San Jose Sharks. They have played two games since we last did a Judd's Hockey Show. Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff, as always. And the Wild won 1-0 against Seattle. Marc-Andre Fleury, 28 save shutout. Matt Zuccarello, the only goal. In that game tonight, they go up 2-0 against the Sharks, not a good team at all, and then they give up the next, well, two goals to tie it. They go to overtime. It was a Wild overtime. It was a lot of fun to watch. Nobody scored, and then in the shootout, Kaprizov scores for Minnesota. Sharks get a couple, including one from Nick Bonino, the former member of the Wild, and they leave with a 3-2 victory in postgame. Dean Evason was as hot as I have heard him. It's weird. Sometimes you expect Dean to be mad, and he really tries to downplay it. Like, he shoots fairly straight for a coach, but lots of times when you expect him to be at his most PO'd, he's not. Well, tonight, he was. He said, and I quote, "We got what we deserve. We didn't deserve to win that hockey game." Here's what drives him crazy, Dex, and it goes back to something that we've talked about a couple weeks ago, at least, or if not a week ago. But anyway, the point is this. The East-West nature of this team, thinking it's a flashy, good, skilled hockey team, aside from Kirill Kaprizov, is driving Dean Evason and I think the fans absolutely crazy. This is a North-South team that has to play its ass off to score goals. You can certainly go through how inefficient they've been 5-on-5. They got a shorthanded Golden Knight among their two goals. But the reality is, I think Dean's at his wit's end of watching a lot of very marginally talented players who don't wear 36 or 97 think that they are going to look like Denny Savard with the Spinorama, which, by the way, Dean mentioned tonight, the Spinorama. We think we're going to do Spinoramas. And I don't blame him one bit. This is not a playoff team if they try to be as cute as they're currently being. They are a playoff team if they work their butts off. But, you know, one goal in Seattle, Fleury played a great game. Credit to him. But that could easily be a loss, too. This team, plain and simple, has to start to work its butt off and quit thinking that it's some skill, high-level hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, you love the buzzword identity from the local TV broadcast about 2 weeks ago into the season. And
yeah, they don't know their identity.
They don't know their identity, and they're not a skilled team. They can't play as deep as they were last year. And losing Kevin Fiala is one thing, and that's a domino effect. You knew you weren't going to just solely replace his production. But this team is not good enough to win on talent alone. I'm paraphrasing Herb Brooks there a little bit. You don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. Their goaltending has been really solid. I know Gustavsson let in a real softie from former Wild player Nico Sturm at the end of the game on Sunday night. That definitely should not have went in. But my broken record theme is this team can't score 5-on-5, and it's killing them. I mean, Judd, they've played, you and Mackey kind of laughed at me when I said 6 5-on-5 goals in a week in four games. They've scored 4 5-on-5 goals in the last three games.
Yeah.
That's it. They can't score 5-on-5. They don't have the talent to do so. And I don't know, as currently constructed, they can win some games 2-1, 1-0. I mean, we've seen it already play out a few times, and it has recently on Friday night against the Kraken. I just don't know if that's a sustainable and believable way for me to convince that this team is good if that's how they're going to win games. They have to figure out ways to generate more consistent offense
if
they're going to be taken seriously.
And Dean's point is it's there. You just have to work. That's the problem. Like, if this team was just inept, they couldn't grind, they had no skill, then it would be like, okay, you're just not good. But the reality is, if they grind, they'll score goals. And if they don't grind, I mean, it's just a lot of guys who look like, it is certain guys who look like, because they have been good in previous hockey lives, that they think that they can get away with the same garbage and crap. that they did that was successful previously, and it's just not true. Now, on Gustafsson, who gave up the two goals in the third period, because one of the questions to Dean in the post-game press conference tonight was trying to absolve Gustafsson because he gave up, well, three goals, including the shootout, but two goals when they were really playing what I consider to be the sport of hockey. And Dean's quote was, "We should have been able to finish it," meaning, because I think the Sturm goal drove him crazy because it's a terrible goal.
Horrible goal.
But the reality is this, too. The Wild, Fleury's great of late. He's unbelievable. But no matter what you think of the goaltending, you can't, and I think Gustafsson's been the victim of this, not the Avalanche loss, but certainly the Detroit loss, certainly tonight. He's not capable of consistently being good enough to steal games. He's just not. He's a two. And if a two gives up two goals at home to San Jose, you should win. That Detroit game, it was another prime example. He played well enough to win. They didn't score goals. And to ask him, "Hey, dude, don't allow bad goals." He's not capable of that. He's going to allow some bad goals. That's just him. So where I'm going to side with Dean completely here is say they've got to have guys get to work. They've got to have guys who play, grind it out, muck it up, get to the net, get rebounds. This whole thing of thinking that you are some high-level skilled player for a lot of this team is folly, and it's going to lead to more problems. And as you documented, you know, 5-on-5, you got to score some goals.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this isn't me trying to be too negative here, but a guy who they have to have show up and be a talented player who's going to play significant minutes. I mean, Matt Boldy's been kind of a ghost over this last week. No goals in the last five games. I mean, when you lose Fiala and you thought you can replace it with Boldy, that's not a complete miss there. Like, Matt Boldy's probably one of the most talented players on this team, obviously. But he's been a passenger. He's been below a passenger, in my opinion, the last five games. I know I've been using that word a lot this season with certain other players, but he's got to be better. I think Kirill Kaprizov and Zuccarello potentially could be broken up here in the next game going into it, just because Dean also mentioned the whole, you know, they want to play a more north-south game, and they have to figure out ways to not play as much east and west. And as much as it's when they're on, and Zuccarello and Kaprizov with their passing and their playmaking and their IQ and knowing where each other is even when they aren't, it's fun to watch. But right now, they need to spread out this offense in a different way. You know, it you can't just have those two on the ice and Zuccarello and Kaprizov and expect, well, that's it. That'll carry our offense. That'll score all of our goals. That's a one-line pony show, and that's going to hurt you again. So I think it's getting Boldy going. I think it's potentially breaking up Kirill and Zuccarello. You know, positively, I thought Marco Rossi had another great game today. Mason Shaw had a great game today. And judging by the comments,
Mason Shaw works his ass off.
Yeah, and that's the guy that Gene's talking about, right? Like, that's what he does. He works his ass off, and he'll get rewarded, or his line mates will get rewarded for a goal. Connor Dewar tonight, great goal, right? Like, that was, it was a shorthanded goal. They came in a rush. Dewar's not going to beat you on his talent alone, but he's 2-on-0, and look, he's probably going to score some of those chances here and there. They need more offense. And if that means breaking up continued lines that have worked for them in the past, they have to try it. They kind of have to try almost anything and everything at this point.
Yeah. And I'll go back to, I don't know that breaking up Zuccarello and Kaprizov is in the cards, but I'll go back to, you know, Goudreau had a goal tonight, but I still think that him being in the middle of two highly skilled players presents some problems there. If they do. So if they broke, Kaprizov and Zuccarello up, who would you put them with?
What center would I put them with?
Yeah, and like which lines? So Kaprizov and whom?
I would definitely dabble. I mean, because like Kirill and Boldy are the same shot, right? They're both left, I believe.
Yeah, but both of them can play the right side.
Can play right.
And Boldy plays the right side now that Jordan Greenway, I know you're shocked by this, is out again.
Yeah. I would try to pair up Kirill. I would break up Mats and Kirill at this point. I'd break them up. And I would probably put Kirill with Boldy. I would try something there. I wouldn't also be upset if it was Zuccarello with Boldy. I think Boldy needs to get his game going a little bit more. I kind of feel good with, I'm not saying Kirill has to play with slappies, and it'd be kind of disrespectful for him to play with slappies.
Well, he sort of does with Goudreau.
Exactly. So
he's a bit of a slappy.
I would like to get Boldy going. So whatever sparks getting Boldy going, I think is kind of a trickle down effect of that other player who is supplying him is also going to be in an effective role. I mean, we were all wondering, and the league was wondering, how will Kevin Fiala play without Matt Boldy? And then conversely, how will Matt Boldy play without Kevin Fiala? Fiala's been pretty damn good with the LA Kings so far. Boldy got a really nice start to the season, but now no goals in the last five games. I think just one assist in that time frame. So can you get Boldy going? Does that spark something else? And if Kirill and Mats end up together again down the road, I don't think that that's a bad thing either. But this offense is so putrid 5-on-5 that they have to, I think, try anything and everything to get something going a little bit more to get more offense.
Yeah, we did see an interesting experiment. I think it was done a couple of weeks ago now by Dean when the offense had hit a snag again, and it's continued to do so. He had Boldy actually between Zuccarello and Kaprizov at center because Boldy can play. Boldy struggled at center in college, but when you watch him play, he plays like a guy that should be able to be an effective center because he's got, it seems like he's got really good vision on the ice and can make some nice plays. So, I mean, that's got some potential. I don't know if they would do that. You know, part of my problem is this too. So, and you knew that this was going to bite them. And don't tell me that Ryan Hartman returning is going to fix it. Because remember, he'd been demoted before he got hurt to a wing, all right? Mm-hmm. But you knew it was going to bite him in the ass when you were going, and you are going, Goudreau. Eriksson Ek, I'm fine with. In fact, I might toy with switching him around as well. Not because I think he's playing bad, but because he is your, in my opinion, best pure center. Now, Rossi definitely not there yet. I still would toy with him playing with more skilled guys to see if it would jumpstart him. But, you know, Dex, the reality is this, when Sam Steele's playing a key role, you know, Sam Steele is a guy. He is just a guy. So, yeah, so I think there could be some interesting things to toy with here, back to your point. And I think Eriksson Ek, you know, we've fallen so in love with, well, he has to play, you know, on the geek line. It has to be the – well, first of all, God knows when Jordan Greenway is going to be playing full-time. Like, he came back again. I don't think he played, if correct me if I'm wrong, on Friday against Seattle, and now he didn't play tonight, and he's not going to play against the Predators in Nashville on Tuesday night, and the earliest he might be back is the Thursday game, I think, against Pittsburgh at the X. But the point is, the guy has basically had issues with that upper body problem the entire season. So, you could toy with Ek with Kaprizov. You could toy. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do. I do. So I don't think splitting up Kaprizov and Zuccarello long-term is in the cards or a great idea, but I sort of like your point about it might spark some things.
Yep.
Like it just looks like it look, this offense 5-on-5 far too frequently just looks stale. And the other thing that I saw tonight, and this is the other place where I felt like in the road trip, the Wild made up for this by doing this a bit. And tonight they clearly, although I did not see the entire game because of Viking stuff, but I did watch the highlight package. And just going through the box score here, Dex, Addison, Brodin, Dumba, Merrill, Middleton, and Spurgeon accounted for 4 shots on goal. Nobody had more than one. And I felt like in the on the trip, they were activating the defenseman. That Dumba goal was great because... It comes with some danger. I get that. But he was activated. He was right on the doorstep and scored. They need more offensive contributions from the blue line for sure. And I'm not saying that a guy like a Merrill or a Middleton's going to give you a ton from there, but you need to activate those guys. I mean, Dumba continues for the most part to just be, in my opinion, non-factor guy. So, yeah, I think Dean is right to be frustrated by how they're playing. I also think that there are some just natural problems here that you aren't necessarily going to fix quickly given the personnel you're deploying.
And, you know, do they have enough juice defensively to, if they want to become a working team, like Dean's saying, like if they just work their butts off and they try to check you and they try to win battles in the corners and they try to win low scoring games, they can play that style, but I think just from my guess on if they want to play that style, I don't know if it's going to work for them. Like I don't know if it's going to work long term and them being taken seriously as contenders. Could they get in the playoffs? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think I would be as excited, and I don't think I'd be as optimistic as I was last season. And I know that team lost to the Blues in 6 games for maybe a few of the reasons we're talking about of not working hard enough or not getting the goaltending you needed. here and there. And the league is off to a weird, you know, Colorado's starting to figure out a little bit here, but the Central's still a gong show to try to, or a, not a gong show, but a gauntlet to get through.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they want to play a workman style game and then rely on goaltending and, you know, kind of a la play Jacques Lemaire hockey and win these low scoring games with stellar goaltending with minimal offensive contributions. I just don't know if that's going to be able to carry them through an 82 game season and then to be taken seriously in the playoffs.
Yeah, you might be right. The one thing where I do think that it's frustrating for Dean and for me personally, because my RSN tries to tell me differently, is the identity thing, though. I mean, Dean's point's right. Their identity, no matter how far they can potentially get, and look, they are not as good of a team. They're certainly not as talented as the regular season version of the Wild last year. So I think Dean's point is the only way that we're going to make hay is to play north-south and drive the net and try and score goals. And he's sick of watching guys who are basically him, because this is who he was. He was a worker bee. So I think what he's sick of is, why are guys who are as talent, who are, you know, carry the talent that I did with the Hartford Whalers or Washington Capitals, why are they trying spinoramas? What are they doing? Why are they trying to be cute? And he is right on that. So is this like a team that I expect to make a playoff run right now? No, it's not. I also think that you are taking a chance, and we could debate this too. And this is a coaching call. With the way he's playing of late, if Marc-Andre Fleury starts tonight and they played Friday, off Saturday, on Sunday, off Monday, on Tuesday, if they had started Fleury tonight, does he hold that lead? Does he allow that Sturm goal? With the way he's playing right now, he probably does not. And they probably win 2-1. So, like, there's a lot to cite, to go through here. Mm-hmm. And certainly when Gustafson starts, it's different, man. It's different. He's played some decent games. I'm not saying he's terrible. But Marc-Andre Fleury right now, God bless him, is back at the top of his game.
Yeah.
That Sturm goal, the problem is this, you can't afford to give up that goal with this team.
I mean, and looking at their schedule too, like I don't see a situation where Gustafson's potential, maybe he plays one of these next six games. And again, the Wild have a weird schedule conflict coming up. So they'll play in Nashville on Tuesday and then they're home for a bit, which is great. They have Thursday against the Penguins, which should be a great test. They're home against the Hurricanes, which should be a great test. They have they're off then for 4 days, but they remain at home against the Jets. They have the Maple Leafs. They have the Coyotes. So they got like a 5-game homestand here, but none of them back to back. Some of them with even more than multiple games off. Maybe Gustafson slides in there just from a rotational standpoint, but I don't think he plays against the Penguins. He certainly won't play against the Hurricanes. I don't think he'd play against the Jets or the Maple Leafs, maybe the Coyotes. Maybe the Coyotes is probably the only game that he would draw into because Arizona's horrible. Yeah. But
we'll get to them in a second because I got a question for you. But yes,
okay. But I think Marc-Andre Fleury is probably going to start these next five straight games. And you need him at this point to bail you out. And he's done that before. He's done that now multiple times this season after a really horrible first four period start to the season. Outside of that, he's been money. But again, I just, as much as goaltending can carry to a degree, and I love Marc-Andre Fleury, how much can that 38-year-old guy be the man for you throughout an 82-game season? I think it's just a tough ask.
I think that this should be, as constituted right now, I think they're a questionable playoff team, but I think that they should be a playoff team, but I have no expectations beyond that. Unless they make a trade. But again, you are, you know, right up for the current time against the cap. As we've discussed before, that's going to be relieved a little bit at the deadline. But I don't look at this and say, I do look at it and say, Dean's right. This team needs to understand its identity is that of a working team that's not that great. So I agree with him there. But I don't look at it and say, but if they work, they're a Stanley Cup type team. To me, they're not. To me, you had that opportunity and made some trades at the deadline last year for that. But I'm going to go through the Central Division standings here, Dex, for you quick. And I'd like to get your impressions because there are some right now, and you know, I know that most teams are 14 to 15 games in. There are right now some major surprises compared to what we probably thought, okay? The first place team played 14 games, 19 points. The Jets, who have been outstanding so far. The Stars have played 15 games, 19 points as well. Colorado's only 13 games. 17 points, followed by the Wild, 16 points in 15 games. Did get a point for the shootout loss tonight. Right behind them, this is very intriguing.
Yeah, I know.
At 14 games played is the Chicago Blackhawks at 15 points. Arizona's played 15 games. They're at 13 points, as is Nashville. The Coyotes, a very pleasant surprise. The Predators, a very big disappointment.
Yeah.
And then the real shocker, I guess, among the disappointments is the St. Louis Blues in 13 games have only 10 points and are 5-8. So as we near the 20-game mark, what do you make of that and the fact that, you know, like the Jets for sure and the Blackhawks, Coyotes are probably surprises. Blues are a disappointment. And right in the thick of that, so they're not really a disappointment.
Right.
But they aren't achieving what they could is the Minnesota Wild.
I'll give you my answer here in just a bit, Judd, but guess what? I have some breaking news here on this podcast on Judd's Hockey Show. I don't have a sounder to play, but breaking news, but boop. A new sponsor has entered the freight here at Judd's Hockey Show, a new number one center, if you will, that we've been all been coveting to look for. And that is my friends at Lake Ridge Liquors in Vadnais Heights, which has a huge local craft selection of beer, including Surly, including Before I Die. So if you know you want the Before I Die Surly, you can go get it there. They have over 1,000 wines in stock. And probably the coolest thing about this is they have a rewards program. There's nothing, you know, if you go to a liquor store a lot, like you and like Judd and I do, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a reward system, right? You get a little points here and there. You get a couple bucks off maybe your next visit. And if you sign up now, when you sign up for their rewards program, they will spot you $5 in rewards for your next visit. They're paying you for a little bit of rewards when you mention SKOR, S-K-O-R. It's Lake Ridge Liquors in Vadnais Heights. It is right off 694 and Rice Street. So go check them out. It's Lake Ridge Liquors, 694 in Rice Street. Go check them out. And thank you for them for sponsoring the Judd's Hockey Show and for helping out business here, of course, at SKOR North. To answer your question, I will say this. I am very glad the Wild are in the Central Division. When I'm looking at the Pacific right now, the Knights are hot, man. I mean, the Knights are finally all healthy. They were battling a crap ton of injuries last year. Jack Eichel is back to being the superstar he was that they traded for.
Marvelous.
The Kings are a fun. We've already seen them play against the Wild a few times. The Kings are great. The Kraken, I don't know. I don't believe this start. You know, they've actually gotten up to a really nice start this season. I don't know if I buy into the Kraken, but to relate it back to the Central, it's kind of good that this division, the Central, that is kind of just all in a log jam here. It hasn't shipwrecked you. You know, you're not completely far out. You know, if the Wild were crawling from 16 points to 26 points like the Golden Knights have right now in the Pacific Division, just from a math equation, that's hard to do. And can you make up these games? You only played 15 to start the year in 82 game season. Of course you can. But right now we're kind of approaching that Thanksgiving Day bubble. And I believe if I'm spitballing a little bit, but if you are inside, if you will, the top eight. So if you were a playoff team by the time Thanksgiving weekend rolls around, I think it's like a 75% chance that history has shown that those teams are in the top eight, make the NHL playoffs. And I know that sounds crazy because that's really only 20% or so of the NHL season, but it is a good kind of idea of if you're firmly in that mix on Thanksgiving, odds are you're probably gonna be firmly in that mix by the end of the regular season. So can the Wild show something here? And again, tough opponents coming up, especially in a lot of the Eastern Conference against the Penguins, against the Hurricanes, some good tests coming up for the Wild, and they certainly can make up for it. But if I'm a Wild fan, I am thankful that they're in the Central and not the Pacific Division.
So I don't believe the Blackhawks, Coyotes are for real.
I think they're
going to plummet eventually.
Especially Arizona.
I think the Blues are going to pop back up. The Blues are a weird team. You know, keep in mind, the year they won the Cup, I think they were in last place overall in the entire league when Mike Yeo got fired and Berube replaced him, and then they ultimately end up beating Boston in the Cup Finals. Winnipeg and Dallas intrigue me. I think the Stars and Jets, I don't know if they're going to be first or second place teams, but I think that they're the exact type of teams that very well could be stronger than we thought. Colorado will be, I think, absolutely fine. And so my first sort of like questionable team then is the Wild, because, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, I think they'll be absolutely fine. When the head coach is spitting mad after a loss to a bad Sharks team, guess what? He might be right on something. But that's where I think that this next stretch that you just talked about is also pivotal too, because this team needs to consistently show, because for the most part, especially with Flower, the goaltending righted itself pretty quickly. Gustafson is who he is. That ain't changing. I think he's going to allow some bad goals. That doesn't mean he's going to allow a ton of goals, but he's going to allow some stinkers. But I think if this team does not get on track, if this team does not work its butt off, and if you have players on both the forward lines and defense trying to get too cute, this team could sink. This team could definitely sink.
Potentially rhetorical question for you, but let me just throw these three teams out, and you tell me, are the Wild better, or can they be better than these teams? Okay. So there's three teams in front of them right now, obviously, in the Avalanche, Stars, and Jets. Are the Wild better, or can they be better than Colorado by the end of the season?
No.
No. Are they better, or can they be better than the Dallas Stars?
Yes, but Jake Ottinger in goal can
be a wild card.
He's been good. Mm-hmm. Fleury's 38. But yes, with the way Fleury is playing right now, if nothing else, neck and neck.
Okay.
To me, the Avs are clearly better.
And then the Jets who are off to a great start and are just a weird team. Do you think the Wild can be better or are a better team than the Jets? And the records are showing different tales right now.
Yeah, they aren't better right now, but they can be.
Okay.
They can be. If Hellebuck plays well, he is a great goaltender. But I'm not, the thing with the Jets is it's 14 games. I'm certainly not completely sold. That being said, I do think that the Jets and Stars could be the type of threatening teams to keep you out of a playoff spot, where mm-hmm. I think like the Blackhawks and Coyotes are going to sink. And I would not be surprised to see the Blues bounce back. Nashville, I'm a little bit more out on, I guess, right now. But yeah, the only team that you named that I think is clearly superior in the division right now, Colorado, until it's proven that they're not. Now, they are missing some key guys. Your guy, Landeskog, is out. Like, they've got some key guys out.
Yeah.
And I don't know that their goaltending is necessarily great. Gorgiev I like, but, I mean, I've seen him play some sort of clunkers. But, yes, I do think, as a whole, right now and in the future, I do think Colorado definitely has a major edge in talent on the Wild.
Okay. Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at, too. I think the Stars are more of a potential wild card, if you will, to rise up and be legitimate contenders, and that mostly goes on Ottinger.
Yeah.
Jason Robertson is a stud. They've had their veteran core with Sagan and been there now forever. But Ottinger is probably the wild card. They're like, right, can Ottinger emerge as potentially the best goalie in the division? Which I could see that being the case. I could see him legitimately being the best goalie in the Central. So I think the Jets, I don't know. I thought the Jets 5-6 years ago, if you would have told me this, I would have been like, yeah, the Jets are on the rise here. But the Jets, I don't know. I don't know if this has been a fluky start for them. I need to see a lot more before I really buy into them being legitimate here.
That's very fair.
Kind of where I'm at.
That's very fair. All right, so Dean's mad. Wild's not scoring. And we're disappointed. But besides that, everything is hunky-dory.
No kidding.
There's no room for petty bull.
Amen, Bill Guerin. There is no room for petty BS. By the way, hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment right here on the Score North YouTube channel. The good news is the Vikings are 8-1 after a thriller in Buffalo. Judd and I are recording this at 10 p.m. Central on a Sunday evening here. I'm still kind of riding that high, and I'm going to try to get to bed here in the next half hour, hour. And I don't even know if I can. So if you want a full 95-minute breakdown of Vikings event line and riding that emotions and watching me take a shot to calm my nerves, you can do that on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, Daily Minnesota Vikings Entertainment. So go check out that as well. Of course, we are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we're on Score North. Again, thank you to Lake Ridge Liquors for jumping on board here on Judd's Hockey Show. So go check them out. Go get your service. Go get whatever you want there. Judd and I will likely be back multiple times this week with, again, some really big foes on the schedule. And until then, pass, shoot, score. And again, please, 5-on-5. Please, 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 pass, shoot, score.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla Show. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer to esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. And don't forget, BetOnline for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf as well. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more. That is BetOnline. Online. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Splash, splash, splash. Apply a little splash. When your windshield's getting dirty, just apply a little splash.
When your windshield's full of grime, bugs, dirt, and snow, just use a little splash and be safe on the road.
Splash, splash, splash. Apply a little splash. When your windshield's getting dirty, just apply a little splash. See safely on the road when you apply a little splash.
This is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. When Tyreek Hill signed with the Miami Dolphins, we all thought, what the hell is he doing? What made many scratch their heads even further was comments praising Tua's accuracy. In fact, people got tired of listening to Tyreek Hill. They would go as far as to just tell him to just shut up and focus on football. Well, the Miami Dolphins are 7-3. Tua Tagovailoa is near 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. Not to mention, the Dolphins now sit at the top of the AFC East. Well, they can hear you now, Tyreek. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. And don't forget, BetOnline for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf exists at BetOnline.net as well. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Splash Weather Repel Premium Windshield Wash features a 3-in-1 formula that repels rain, sleet, snow, and bugs while leaving a streak-free shine. It keeps you seeing safely all year long. Pick up some at Walmart today.
See safely on the road when you apply a little splash.